אלא אפילו שומר שכר שמסר לשומר חינם דגרוי גרעה משמירתו פטור. מהי טעמה? טעה מסרה לבין דעת. ולתעמד רבי יוחנן לא מבעיה שומר שכר שמסר לשומר חינם דגרוי גרעה לשמירתו, אלא אפילו שומר חינם שמסר לשומר שכר, דעלויה על יהיה לשמירתו חייב, דאמר לי אין רצוני שיהיה פקדוני ביד אחר. Now this is a long mamra, and you can see that it has a mixture of Hebrew and Aramaic. When we take the Aramaic out of the mamra, and we read only the Hebrew, we come up with a very simple and concise mamra. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Le Rav, according to Rav, Afilu Shomer Sachar, Shemasar Le Shomer Chinam, Patur. Ule Rabbi Yochanan, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, Afilu Shomer Chinam, Shemasar Le Shomer Sachar, Chayav. And all of the rest of the mamra is in Aramaic. Now what we have here is a common phenomenon in the Shas, which is that the Hebrew Memra is being interpreted by the Aramaic Stam de Gemara, and the Stam de Gemara is actually entered into different parts of the Memra, so that it looks like it's even part of the Memra, but it's not part of the Memra, it's an addition onto the Memra. Let's take a look exactly what Abaye said in Hebrew. And let's see what it is that the Stam de Gemara is answering. We're going to leave that alone for a minute, Eitan. Just a sec. Let's first see what Abaye says. He says, Le Rav, according to the Shita of Rav, who says Patur, that the first Shomer will be exempt from liability if damage is caused to the Pikadon when it's in the hands of the secondary Shomer, Afilu Shomer Sachar Shemasar Le Shomer Chinam Patur. Even if a Shomer Sachar, who has a higher level of responsibility, hands off to a Shomer Chinam with a lesser level of responsibility, Patur, he'll nevertheless be Patur. Not only in a case where one hands off to one with greater level of responsibility will you be exempt from liability, but you'll be exempt from liability even if you hand off to someone with a lower level of responsibility. And then, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Ule Rabbi Yochanan, the exactly opposite. Afilu shomer chinam shemasar lo shomer sachar chayav. Even if a person with a lower level of responsibility hands off to a person with a higher level of responsibility, v'chozot, nevertheless, the primary guardian will be chayav. He'll be liable if damage comes to the pikadon in the hands of the secondary guardian. Now, what basically is Abaye adding to the memra that we had above, the itmar, of where we have the shitot of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan? Abaye is telling us that Rav and Rabbi Yochanan did not paskin in a given set of circumstances. They paskined across the board, that there is a conceptual position, a fundamental position of Rav and of Rabbi Yochanan. Miriam, that's a good question. Miriam, we're talking about without permission of the owner. Without permission of the owner. So Abaye is saying that the shitot of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan are absolute. It doesn't matter whether you've increased the effectiveness of the Shemira or decreased the effectiveness of the Shemira. It doesn't matter. In any event, their shitot of Chayav and Patur will remain intact. That's what Abaye is adding. Now I want to relate to the question that Eitan Diamond asked from Toronto about line 2, bet 2. There, it says, what is the reason, according to Abaye, that Rav would say a person is patur even if he hands over to a shomer with a higher level of responsibility? Because he handed over the pikadon to a person that was aware of what he was doing. And as long as he does that, since the awareness has passed to the second person, the liability has also passed to him. And conversely, with Rabbi Yochanan, he would say, at the end of 2 Gimel, Amar le, ein mitzoni shiye piktoni biyad acher. A person has the right to say, I've entrusted you with the pikadon, I'm not entrusting anyone else, and therefore, even if you give it to a person who has a higher level of responsibility, a shomer sachar, nevertheless, the person will be chayev, because the owner has the right to decide with whom he is going to entrust his property. So Abaye has provided us with a very important addition to the sugya. He has transferred Rav and Rabbi Yochanan from what we would call case law into statutory law. He's made the case in which Rav and Rabbi Yochanan paskind, no longer an individual case, it's now become a statute which is applicable in every set of circumstances that is imaginable. Okay? Now, responding to Abaye, number three in the sugya, we have Amar Rav Chista. Now, we already know that we're in trouble. Why do we already know that we're in trouble? Because Rav Chista is third generation. Eitan is asking, but one more time, is Abaye the one giving the reasons or the stomach? Eitan, I think that's a question that requires more analysis. I would say that it's probably Abaye, but there is a case to be made that it is the stomach. And when we see Rav Chista appearing in component number three, Rav Chista is responding to whom? Rav Chista, after all, is a student of Rav Huna, who is the student of Rav. And Abaye didn't learn with him. Abaye is one generation after Rav Chista. So we have a problem. Why does Abaye appear before Rav Chista in the sugya? He should appear after him. Because the Amoraim, if you'll recall, the Amoraim are always represented in the sugya in chronological sequence. And here it's not in chronological sequence. So that's problem number one. Problem number two will be, to whom is Rav Chista relating? Is he relating to the original Memra of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan? Or is he relating to what Abaye said? What would you say? Ladies and gentlemen, what would you say? Is Rav Chista relating to Rav and Rabbi Yochanan or to Abaye? Do we have any hints in the sugya? If Rav Chista was speaking directly to Abaye, what would the Gemara say? Jay is saying that he's relating to Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Why? How do you know that? If Rav Chista was relating to Abaye, the Gemara would have said, Amar Le. That's right. It would have said, Amar Le Rav Chista. And it doesn't say that. It says, Amar Rav Chista. So Rav Chista is relating, apparently, back to Rav and Rabbi Yochanan and not to Abaye. But the question we need to ask ourselves is, if he is relating to Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, why is Rav Chista placed after Abaye in the sugya and not before Abaye? And we have to get to an answer to that, and we will in a few short moments. Let's learn Rav Chista, and then we'll understand how it is that sugya is put together. Amar Rav Chisda, Ha de Rav, this opinion of Rav that has been reported above, Lav beferush itamar ela michlala, was never said explicitly, it was deduced from an incident that occurred. Dehan hu ginoe, dechol yoma, havu mafkede maraiho, gabadahahi safta. It's a case, the case was a group of gardeners who every day would entrust their tools to a certain elderly woman. Yomachad, apkadinhu agabe chad minayu. And what happened was that on a certain day, they entrusted their tools into the hands of one of their party, and not to this older woman. Shama kala behilula, and this one of the workers who had been entrusted with the tools heard the sound of a wedding. Nafak azal, he left and he went out. Afkedinhu legabada hayisafta, and he entrusted the tools again into the hands of this older woman. Ada azal ve'ata ignov maraihu. By the time he came back, the tools had been stolen. Ata lekameda Rav. This case came before Rav. Uptare. And Rav exempted this guardian, this primary guardian, the one of the workers, he exempted him from any liability. And so Miriam is saying, but they habitually trusted this specific woman. This must be a special case. Well done, Miriam. You're mechavenet to the dot of the Gemara. We're going to see in a minute. Man dechaza, Rav Chista goes on and says to us, the one who saw this happen, Savar, thought, Mishum deshomer, shemasar deshomer patur, that he thought that Rav holds that a primary guardian that hands over to a secondary guardian will be exempt. Velohi, Rav Chista says that's not true. This was a special case, as Miriam has explained to us. Shani hatam, there it was a different case. Techol yoma, Name inhu gufayho gabadaha hisafta avu mafkadeh leho, because in any event always entrusted the tools to this older woman, meaning that they trusted her, and therefore there's nothing wrong with this one partner handing it over into her hands if he wants to. Now, our guest is asking, why did they decide this day not to give her the spades? That's of course a reasonable question, given to speculation. But what is interesting for me, to ask here in this case is, first of all, look at Rachista's home Nemra. What language is it in? Do you see that the Memra is in Hebrew? It's in Aramaic, right. It's not in Hebrew, it's in Aramaic. Why is it in Aramaic? Jay says, interesting but not relevant. It's very relevant.
I checked on the earlier comment. Why didn't they give it to the old mother?
Okay, fine.
From a Halachic point of view.
That's right.
The Torah is not interested in the story, it's more interested in conceptualization.
Right. Okay. So why is Rav Chista's remark in Aramaic? We know that 85% of all memers are in Hebrew. So why should it be in Aramaic? So the answer is that this is one of the 15%, one of the types of material of the 15% of Amoraic Torah that is in Aramaic, and that is, as a category, halachic stories. Here we have a halachic story. Do you remember in the last sugya we learned last week, we also had a halachic story. And it was also in Aramaic. Okay, in any event, what is Rav Chista telling us? He's saying that Rav never, ever said, Shomer Shemasar LeShomer Patur. Rav never said it in the first place. He only paskined that way in a given set of circumstances that were extenuating circumstances. Now, who do we believe, Rabotai? Rav Chista or the Baal HaMemra at the beginning of the sugya? We have a reporting at the beginning of the sugya that Rav said, Shomer Shemasar LeShomer is Patur. Rav Chista is telling us, this is not so. So who do we believe? And why? So Jake Hellman is saying, this is like a lo shanu ela, believe Rav Chista. It's even stronger than a lo shanu ela, right? And Dov says, trust the Maaseh Rav. And Eitan is saying Rav Chista because he's closer in time. Yes, you're all correct. Very well done. Rav Chista, you see, was the Talmid of Rav Huna, who was the Talmid of Rav. Rav Chista definitely knew Rav as well. And Rav Chista was the Rosh Hashiva in Sura. He had at his fingertips the archives of the Rosh Hashiva Rav. And therefore, Rav Chista was closer to Rav. Now, Mike Fisher is saying, from Sunny Passaic, trust the latter. But who is the latter? It's clearly that Rav Chista is later, because he's relating to the Memer that was brought at the beginning of the Sugya. Now, let's get back to Eitan is asking, so why is this wrong story brought in the first? No, the story is correct, Eitan. It's the reporting at the very beginning of the Sugya, Shomer Shemasar LeShomer, Rav Amar Patur, and Rav Yochanan Amar Chayav, which Rav Chista is saying was a conclusion without basis. Because Rav never said any such klal, he only paskened that way in one given case. Now,
who's
if
saying that, though? Who said the first time Rav Amar Shomer Shemasar, who's reporting that?
Who's reporting that at the beginning of the sugya? So if you recall in our first couple of lessons when we discussed how memras were created, that memras are basically renditions of the words of the Chachamim as recorded by their students. And therefore you can see it happening like this. This case happened of the gardeners, and Rav paskined Patur. Afterwards, the students discussed Rav's psak. Why did Rav paskin that the gardener was Patur? So some people held that the gardener was Patur because it was a special case, that they trusted the Safta in any event. And therefore, Rav's Psak is only limited to that specific case. So what we want to ask here is as follows. Now that we have Rav Chista, what is Rav Chista, What is his effect on the words of Abaye? Because if, after all, Rav Chista is telling us that Rav's psak was only in a given case, and it was not in general, then what happens to Abaye's assumption that Rav would say patur in any case, even when a shomer sachar would hand over to a shomer chinam? What happens to Abaye's suggestion? You know what? If Rav Chista knew that the Itamar Memra was concluded from a specific case and is not representative of Rav's approach, then why didn't Abaye know that? Does everyone understand the question? Now you see, what happened here is as follows. And we can use this as a binyan av to understand the way sugyas were put together. Abaye is in Pundita. Miriam is asking, did the rabbis giving a psak also give a reasoning for their psak to prevent extrapolations that are incorrect? Well, of course you know that the reasons for the psak are often not brought as part of the Memra, usually not brought as part of the Memra. And who is it that brings us the Svara, or the Nimuk for the Memra? It's the Stama de Gemara. And Eitan asks, isn't the whole point of Stama to extrapolate reason from the Psak, even if it takes it beyond the original context? Yes, Eitan, that is the purpose of Stama de Gemara. But when the Stama de Gemara does it, the Stama is doing it speculatively. But our Baal HaMemra at the beginning of the Sugya and Abaye are not being speculative. They're stating a fact, and the fact that Abaye's name is put onto this meaning is means that Abaye is poskening this way, halakha l'maaseh. This is no speculation. Memra is not a speculation, it's a psak halakha. So it is if, though, Abaye is acting on the Memra of Rav, almost like Stama de Gemara. He's saying that Rav's psak was really a principled psak, dealing with all cases. Eitan says, or maybe that gives a clue to the lines of Tu Betu, that it is Stama. Yes, that may be. That may be an indication that Tu Betu would be Stama. Although I'm not clear about it, because in a future sugya in the Perek, Abaye and Rava have a discussion, and they relate to these svaras as if they were actually said by them. So I would say in this case I'm not clear, but what you're saying holds some water. In any event, what we have here is a classic example of how the different Batei Midrash in Bavel had different misorot, how to understand earlier statements and earlier material. Abaye was in Pumbedita. Rav Chista was in Sura. Abaye may have very well have been aware that the Psak Halakha of Rav was given in a specific case. That's not relevant to him, though, because Abaye holds that the Psak in the given case was representative of Rav's Svara in all cases, that it works to conceptualize it. Whereas Rav Chista is saying it does not work to conceptualize it. It has to remain on the level of case law and is relevant only to the case in which it was paskened. In any event, we can get back now to our original question about the structure of the sugya. Why is Rav Chista placed after Abaye and not before Abaye? Who would like to suggest an explanation to that strange phenomenon? Now, of course, I have to modify a little bit what I said before. Rav Chista being in the third generation and Abaye being in the fourth generation, it doesn't mean that they can't speak with each other. After all, I see some of you here on the screen are a generation younger than myself. I don't have to die for you to speak. We can speak to each other even though we're different generations. So it could be that Rav Chista's remark is a reaction to what was reported to him in the name of Abaye. That could be. And Rav Heschel is saying because Abaye is applying the rule globally and Rav Chisda is applying the rule narrowly. Yes, that's right. The question is, was Rav Chisda aware that Abaye was doing that when he said it, when he said what he said? Or is the Gemara editing the Maimras in this sequence for us? Some people want to say this is called didactic editing, that if we had placed Rav Chisda before Abaye, then it would have taken the sails out of Abaye's whole remark. We would have had no context for Abaye's remark, because we would have already known from Rav Chisda that it's to be applied narrowly and not generally, not globally. So therefore, the Baal HaSugya put Abaye first to show us that he was really, Abaye was in one mind with the Baal HaMemra of component number one, that it's a general principle of Shomer Shemasar LeShomer, and all Abaye is doing is extending that principle to its natural conclusion, which is that it doesn't matter who's handing off to whom. And when this rendition of Rav is concluded with Abaye's words, we might even want to suggest, by the way, that this is a Pumbeditan Sugya at the beginning of the Sugya. The first component and the second component are Pumbeditan Sugya. And that then this Pumbeditan Sugya was brought to Sura, or the Kafre, where Rav Chisda lived. And Rav Chisda looked at it and said, this is not so. This Pumbeditan Sugya is not correct. Rav never meant this kind of psak, and he certainly never meant this kind of conceptualization. And therefore, if Rav Chisda could not have been placed before Abaye, because he's only placed when the Pumbeditan Sugya comes to its conclusion. In any event, you can see here that this is a mixture of natural and edited. This is an edited sugya, but it's being arranged as if it were natural, as if Rav Chisda was responding to Abaye directly. Are there any questions on the first three components before we move on to component number four? Rav Heschel is saying again, but in other cases, the Gemara starts with a narrow application and then expands. Here, the Balei Gemara wanted to make sure that the halacha is not in accordance with Rav. Yes, but Rav Heschel, what you're suggesting here is that the order of the Amoraim and the order of the Gemara are integrated. And this is not the way we learn. We learn that the Amoraim, the Amoraic Sugya, stands on its own with its own regulations, and that the Stama was added afterwards, after the Amoraic Sugya was already complete, as an additional level of analysis. So it's not that the Gemara will usually start with narrow and go to expanding it. Usually the Sugya, the Amoraim, deal with narrow cases, and the Gemara always expands it. And that's really... here, Abaye is acting in that way a little bit, but the Stama de Gemara that was added into Abaye's Memra is doing it even more, because it's giving us all of the reasons for Abaye's expansion of Rav. Okay, let's go on to component number four. Yativ Rabbi Ami, the Ka'amar La Leha Shmata. Rabbi Ami, who was the third generation Israeli Amora, he's a student of Rabbi Yochanan, and he was Rosh Yeshiva Tveria after Rabbi Yochanan died. Rabbi Ami sat down and said this Shmata. What's a Shmata? A sugya. Etive Rabbi Abi Abba Bar Mamal le Rabbi Ami. So Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal said to Rabbi Ami as follows. Hasucher para mi chaviro, vihishila leacher, umeta kidarka, yishava hasucher shameta kidarka, vihashuel mishalem lasucher. So what he's saying to him, he's quoting the case that we have that says that if a renter, a person rents a cow from his friend and loans it to someone else, and while it is in the state of being loaned to someone else, it dies a natural death, then the renter will swear, will take an oath, that it died according to a natural death, and he is patur from that, and the borrower, who is obligated, even in a case of meta kedarka, will then pay the socher, and the socher will make some cool cash on the bargain. Now, how will the renter know, Miriam? How will the renter know? Because he lent the cow to his friend, and he wants to get it back from him now in order to return it to the original owner from whom he rented it. And then the borrower will say, as he did not have the cow when it died. Well, that yes, because that's exactly the point, is that the borrower says to him, it died while I was using it under normal circumstances. It died a natural death, not an unnatural death. So the socher, of course, believing the shoel, goes back to the original owner and takes an oath to that effect, which enables him then to collect from the shoel the damages. The Gemara feels a need to explain to us what is the svara behind this psak that's brought down in the words of the Tanaim. And that is, in ita lemale, if what you're saying is so, then he should say to him, Ein ritzoni she'a pituni b'yad acher. He should be able to say to the owner, should be able to say to the renter, I don't want my animal to be in anybody else's control. And that would mean that the socher would not have had a right to give it to the shoel, and he would not be able to collect the damages on it afterwards. Why doesn't he do that? And this, of course, Rabbi Ami is asking a kushya on his Rebbe, on Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Ami answers Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal. He says to him, "Bishenatnu lo habialim rishut lahashil." That this is a case where the owners actually gave the renter the right to loan out the animal to a secondary guardian, and therefore there is no claim. They cannot claim that what the socher did was inappropriate by lending it out. He had a right to lend it out. He had permission to do so. Now, the Stam of the Gemara makes a remark on that, but then we move ahead, and we see that we get back to Mativ Rami Bar Chama. That Rami Bar Chama asks on this, and you know that Rami Bar Chama is third generation in Surah Mechoza, and he therefore, the sugya has now gone back to Bavel. It's an international sugya. It's gone back to Mechuza, and therefore we have a truly international sugya. Okay, are there any questions on this before we go further? Are there any questions? Hello?
It's all clear to everybody.
It's all clear, huh? Okay. So we've gone back to Bavel, and Rava then responds to Rami Bar Chama, as you know from our previous learning he usually does. Kol mafkid al dat ishto ubanav hu mafkid. There are certain leniencies in entrusting of guardianship over a picadon that can be involved here. That would make it all right for the one entrusted with the object to give it to certain others when necessary. Now, unfortunately, I've lost the screen here, and I'm not able to read what has just been written. So, if you could read that to me, I would appreciate it very much.
Well, Herschel is dying and says he's got to leave.
Ah, okay. All right, no problem. Any event, as the sugya comes to a conclusion, in component number 10, Amar Rava, Shomer Shemasar LeShomer Chayav, Afilu Shomer Chinam Shemasar LeShomer Sachar Chayav. Rava paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, that one who hands over to a secondary guardian is liable, even if he hands it over to someone who has a higher level of liability. Now notice that what happened is that that Rava is paskins like Rabbi Yochanan. We never had any question raised in the sugya whether Rabbi Yochanan meant his psak globally or narrowly. It turns out that Rava accepts Rabbi Yochanan's psak globally, and with that, the sugya concludes. So to summarize, this sugya has several stages. It has the initial memra, which is commented on by Abaye. That's a Pumbedita sugya. It's followed by a statement from Surah of Rav Chista, that it's not to be taken globally, but Rav's psak is narrow. We then go back to Eretz Yisrael, where there's a discussion on Rabbi Yochanan between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal. And after that, we jump again back to Babel, to the generation 3 and 4, which is after Avfista, from those who studied with him, which is Rami Bar Chama and Rava. And Rava concludes the sugya by paskening like Rabbi Yochanan, and not like the Pesach of Rav, which has been limited by Rav Kista to a given case. So this sugya really incorporates quite a number of the principles that we've been learning over the last number of weeks, both in terms of natural versus edited sugyas, memras versus stamma de gemara, and the functions of each in the sugya. Are there any questions? And I'd ask someone to please read the questions, because I'm unable to for some reason to see the screen.
I'm not sure what you mean by Sugya 11, I presume. I'm not sure what Sugya that is.
Sugya 11 is the Sugya we've just learned. The Shomer Shemasa, the Shomer.
Part 10 of Sugya 11.
In any event, since I don't see the screen, I can't read your comments, but I would like to just say to all of you that it's been a great pleasure learning with you over the last 6 weeks. I encourage you to continue trying to apply the method on your own to other sugyas, and write to me by email, and I'll be happy to respond all the time. I'll be in Toronto on the 24th of June, and if it works out that we can learn together, that would be great. And we'll look forward to being in touch with you in the future, either collectively or individually.